This Roto Report is brought to you by Joe Laser with Laser Insurance and Financial Services. Whether you need auto, home, health, life, or commercial insurance, or if you're looking for advice as you plan for your retirement, call Laser Insurance and Financial Services at 330-722-4444. We're joined today by longtime sports writer Rick Nolan from the Medina Gazette. He's been there over 30 years, sports director. He's known throughout the area for covering not only high school sports, but the national teams in town, I guess, the Cavaliers, the Browns, the Indians, whoever it is, when it comes to sports writing, Rick's one of the best in the area, and he finally decided to put a book out about his 30 years of covering sports. It's called Overtime, and we'll tell you throughout the interview how you can order that and get a hold of it. Rick, thanks for making time for me. First of all, for our listeners out there, give us a little background on yourself, where you grew up, how you got involved in sports, and why you became a sports writer.
Well, I grew up in what we call the North Hill section of Akron, which is basically North Akron, right up next to Cuyahoga Falls. I went to North High School, graduated in 1979, was a very marginal high school basketball player and a very marginal high school tennis player. And like most kids, I grew up dreaming of being a pro athlete. It was probably ninth grade I realized that that just was not going to happen. So I started looking for things I could do with my life, and I knew that it had to be something that involved sports. So, you know, I considered teaching for a time. I considered, being a trainer, possibly being a coach. And then it turns out, as luck would have it, I did fairly well in the English portion of my ACT test as a junior and senior in high school. So the light bulb kind of went on that, hey, sports writing is a way to actually get paid to cover events rather than pay to go see them. So met a young man who actually was the Gazette assistant sports editor as I was finishing up school at the University of Akron. And he worked at a paper called the Medina County Gazette. I did not know where Medina was at the time growing up in Akron. He was actually 20 years old. I was 22. Started there in December of 1983. I think I made a robust $3.15 an hour when I started, and I've been there ever since. I've applied for a few jobs early in my career there, but it's a place I've grown to love, met a lot of interesting people, covered a lot of great sporting events, and finally decided to throw this book together.
Okay, as you look back over your career covering so many different events, from high school sports to collegiate sports, professional sports, and that, where'd the idea come for the book, and how did you decide what you were going to put in the book? And again, the book, the title of it is called Overtime. Now, it's not overtime, it's overtime, kind of a play on words, right? Overtime, covering over 30 years.
Correct. It's an idea that I'd been kicking around for years and years. Some close friends had been on me for forever to do it. My thinking was always that, you know, I spend all day writing. The last thing I want to do when I get off work is to come home and have to do more writing. But in about late March, I finally said, you know what the heck, let's do it. It was kind of a thing where I kept, Kenny, nothing that I had written over,
really?
Over 30 plus years. When I started this project, I had exactly two stories in my possession. One was one I wrote in 1989, and it dealt with watching Game 4 of the NBA Finals between the Detroit Pistons and the Los Angeles Lakers. That was the Bad Boys era. I grew up a Lakers fan. And my mom had died 3 hours prior to tip-off of that game, and she had died at home. Hospice came, took the body out, and I proceeded to watch the game that night with my father, my aunt and uncle, my grandmother, and my sister. So it kind of was an attempt, and I think a successful one, to put in perspective what sports is really for most people. It's a release and a way to get away from everyday life for a short period of time. The other story that I kept was when my dad died in 2001. And it was about when he passed away, he was always a buy the cheapest beer available kind of guy. He had a case of Blatz in his refrigerator. So I did what any deep-pocketed son would do. I took it home and drank them one by one because that's about all I could handle of Blatz at the time. And I could not bring myself to drink the last one. And I finally drank it on Christmas Eve of 2001 when I realized that the Blatz might be gone, but the memories of him would still be there.
Yeah, that's awesome. I do something similar when I'm out on the golf course, Rick. My dad passed away from cancer, and it was devastating to me. It sounds like you had a great relationship with your father, too, and they meant so much to us. And I have a set of my dad's first ever golf clubs, and I have a 4-wood, and it's literally a wood. It's one of the old golf clubs, okay? It's a 4-wood, and I hit that at least once every time I'm out on the golf course because my dad loved the golf in his later years. He got a hole in one once, was one of his favorite days and all that, and it was with that club. And so I have that club in my bag, and I make sure I don't hit it good all the time, but I make sure I hit it at least once. And a little salute to the sky and that in memory of him. So it's interesting that the two that you kept both dealt with the death of your parents.
Interesting enough, that was probably the most difficult part of the book, was that because that's all I had kept, I didn't have exact dates of any of the other articles that I had written that I knew I wanted to include in the book. Now, there were certain things that were easy enough to find online. The drive, the shot, the fumble, the decision, the return. Those were just a matter of typing that in, and it came up. The others I had to research through the Gazette Library and through microfilm at the library.
We're talking old school microfilm, right?
I had to get the poor lady from the front desk 5 times on my first trip there just to show me how to operate the microfilm, and the poor lady finally sat down and did it for me. The Gazette's library system only went back to 1993, and it was sketchy at best. In several years. So Albert Grindle, a research and historical nut that works with me at the Gazette, showed me most of his little tricks of the trade on how to type in tons and tons of keywords to limit my searches down. I was able to get probably 80%, 85% of them that way. I also reconnected with a ton of people I've covered over the last 30 years who I had written stuff on their children or their spouses. To my extreme pleasure, they had kept the articles, and they were able to provide me the exact date they ran, and then I was able to locate them that quickly over microfilm. So it's been a really rewarding experience in that way.
Again, the book is called Overtime. We're talking with Rick Nolan. He's been with the Medina Gazette over 30 years and decided to put a book together with local stories as well as national stories. All right, take me through the different breakdowns in the book. There's 6 different types of chapters or phases of the book that you decided to break it down in. For our listeners out there, give them an idea of when they pick this book up what they're going to be reading.
All right. First, let me say that Joe Tate, longtime Cavaliers and Indians announcer, was kind enough to write the foreword for the book. So kudos and big thanks to him for doing that. The book's broken down, Kenny, into 6 sections. Memories, human triumph, personalities, events, columns, and adventures. The memory section includes the stories on my mom and my dad, a number of athletes that passed away, unfortunately, at a very young age that I wrote tributes to and talked to a bunch of their friends. They hold up as well today as whatever year I wrote them. It's something that I think people will be able to read and still relate to what was going on at that period of time. The human triumph section deals with people who have overcome tremendous obstacles or odds in their lives. There's a story about a young man named Chad Tuchek who had a horrible drug and alcohol addiction and ended up starting college when he was 22 years old, and now is a preseason All-American Division II wide receiver at West Alabama. There's a story about John Carrick, who was a longtime assistant football coach at Medina, suffered a massive stroke. Doctors gave him about a 3% chance of living. He not only overcame it, he made an unbelievable recovery. The great thing about that was his wife, Cynthia, shared with me just hundreds of pages of her personal diary that she was writing at the time the family was going through this. So it's a very long story written around those journal entries by Cynthia, who was one of the people I reconnected with when I wrote this book. The profile section contains a lot of the favorite people that I've met in Medina sports, Medina County sports over the years. There is also a story in there on Joe Tate for the national and regional readers. People like Keith Soy, who coached basketball at Medina, John Kelly, who was the tennis coach there for almost 30 years, Jessica Tuchek, who was an athlete of the year at Medina and is now a coach at Medina. Then the event section deals with all the thes in Cleveland sports. The column section has a piece on when Art Modell decided to move the Browns and a number of other local things that I've had the privilege to cover. And the adventure section deals with unique kind of things I've gotten the opportunity to do.
Like what? Give our listeners an idea.
My favorite one was in 2001 when I was 40. I decided to do a Battle of the Sexes piece where I competed one-on-one against the best female athlete in each sport. I played one-on-one in basketball. I played tennis. I attempted to run the 300-meter hurdles. I hit against the fastest pitcher in the county that year, who had a softball field in her backyard. I golfed or did something resembling golf there, which was a huge failure. And it was an unbelievable pleasure to do. I got great feedback from it. I also have a story in there about officiating in prison at the Grafton Correctional Institute and the feelings that I had going through my mind as I went in and walked into the gym. And it was an unbelievably positive experience, but the adrenaline was through the roof during that course of the thing. So it's those kind of stories. Sports, for a lot of them, serves as a backdrop. And they're stories that I think even the non-sports fan can relate to because they deal more about the personalities, the ups and downs, the triumphs and failures of people that are involved in sports.
So from when you started the book, Rick, to when you finally finished it and you get a copy back, give me an idea of, was it harder than you thought it would be? Is it more rewarding than you thought it would be now that it's over and here you are doing interviews and you're doing book signings and people are actually picking up Rick Nolan's book over time and reading it?
Well, when I decided to go ahead with the project, I made a vow to myself that I would not put a deadline on myself, that it was going to be something that was going to be fun for me, and I wasn't going to pressure myself to have to get it done by a certain time. And in the back of my mind, the thought was I would get it done in a year, which would have been in March of 2015. But as I got started, I had so much fun doing it that I found that it wasn't really work to do it, that I actually looked forward to getting up in the morning and doing it, or coming home from work late at night and spending a couple hours doing it. So lo and behold, I ended up getting it done in about 6 months, 6 or 7 months. The hardest part of the book actually was, number one, coming up with the 50 stories I wanted to include. Since I sent the book and got it published, I know there's at least two that I wish I had remembered and I just didn't. That may be an excuse to do another one and if I'm still around in another 15 years. But, you know, there was painstaking work. There was style things I had to change. I literally had to go in and change in every story, every comma, every apostrophe, every quote mark, so they would all be uniform for the book company so they could just do a search and replace and make them all exactly the way they wanted. So stuff that most people don't even think about was the hardest and the most boring part of it. But the biggest pleasure was the people that I've reconnected with and all the positive feedback I've gotten along the way of people saying that they're looking forward to reading it.
Over Time is the name of the book, and there's a space in there. It's not like an overtime game. It's overtime because Rick's been doing this for 30 years in Medina County at the Medina Gazette, and 50 stories over 30 years. And if you're a Medina County person, then this is definitely something you want. If you're a Cavs, Browns, Joe Tape, so many different angles of this book. If you're a sports fan, you're going to want to check it out and get a copy of it. Along those lines, Rick, how can people get a copy of it?
A number of different ways, Kenny. If people want to order it, the book is $19.95, and if they want me to send it through the mail, it's another $2.70 for shipping and handling. If you'd like to order it that way, you can email me at noland13@ohio.net. That's NOLAND13@ohio.net. Just give me your complete name and address. I'll get it out to you. You can send the check back. I'm going to have a number of book signings in the area. Barring a last-minute catastrophe, which I don't foresee, the first one is going to be Sunday, September 28th. Browns fans, don't worry. That is their bye week. I'm going to have it at from noon to 4 p.m., September 28th, at the Gazette Building on 885 West Liberty Street in Medina, just west of the square. I'm going to have another signing after that at JoJo's Sports Bar in Medina. I think it's going to be the first weekend in October. I don't have the exact date or time on that.
I think I've run into you a few times up there.
I am one of their better customers.
You are Norm from Cheers up there, and Albert is Cliff, basically, with you guys coming in after the games doing the hard work.
Yeah, I have everything but a chair with my name on it there. And anybody who purchases the book there gets a house draft along with or not a house draft, but any draft beer with their purchase. I'm going to have another one at a place where I spent a large portion of my childhood, the Polish American Club, in the North Hill section of Akron on Dan Street. I'll have dates on that coming forward. Those will be published in the Gazette. I also will post them on my Facebook page and on Twitter, so you can follow it that way. But the best way right now, if you can't make it to a book signing, is to just email me at noland13@ohio.net. Just give me your name and your full address and zip code, and I'll get one out to you.
Rick, we appreciate the time. Best of luck with the book. Looks like it's going to be a big success, and I have a feeling that since you liked it so much and you forgot a couple, and there'll be plenty more stories, I think, coming along with the Browns and the Cavaliers in these upcoming years, that you'll probably be doing a number two book.
I'd say it's a good possibility. I think I have 14 or 15 more years in me at the Gazette, so hopefully we can get 30, 40 more stories that I think are deserving to read a second time.
Again, the book is called Overtime by Rick Nolan from the Medina Gazette. We appreciate him stopping by, and again, you can go to noland13@ohio.net if you want to order the book. Rick, thanks so much for joining us. Best of luck with the book. And this Rotary Report with Rick Nolan was brought to you by Laser Insurance and Financial Services. Did you put something in there on Joey? He's probably going to be mad if you didn't. You know how Joe is.
Joe didn't make it. I should have hit him up for sponsorship, actually, now that you bring it up.
Well, he's sponsoring this Rotor Report, and call Joe Laser for all your insurance and financial needs at 330-722-4444, or you can check them out online at laserinsurance.com. And as always, C-Town, keep it real.